You're listening to Through the Funnel, where we demystify classical Chinese medicine. I'm your host, Mallory Jaimo, and this is episode number 8. Hello and welcome. Today I am joined by my instructor and at one point my clinical supervisor and now friend, Randine Lewis. Hi, Randine.
Hello, Mallory. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Let me just tell our audience and listeners a little bit about you. So Randine is known worldwide for her work in Chinese medicine, specifically OBGYN and fertility. She's written 3 books. There's a 4th in the making. And she is also a PhD and, of course, licensed acupuncturist and herbalist. Randine is one of my favorite people to deep dive into Chinese medicine with. So this won't be her last appearance here. But for today, we are going to talk about one of our favorite topics, which I know is one of hers to teach and write about, which is the spirit of the medicine. Randine has founded numerous clinics and educational programs and conducts intensive Chinese medicine retreats and teaching workshops all over the world. Randine and I met at my alumni, where she currently teaches Taoist Traditions College of Medical Arts. She also teaches for their integrative medicine doctoral program. You've got a great bio, Randine.
Well, gee, thank you. Yeah, it's been a while in the making, but it's fun to hear somebody else talk about what I've done and to take it in rather than, you know, that was just my experience. So it's kind of funny to hear it like as a bio.
Yeah. And I think from putting it together, it really has not only connected to me, but also I was able to see how you've grown, having read your 3 books, looking forward to the 4th, but also seeing what I want to talk about, which is the fertile aspects of our soul. And one way that you've progressed even further into that is with your most recent project, which is the Yin Qigong. Can you tell us a little bit about the evolution from these 3 books to the Yin Qigong?
Sure. Well, thank you for that. You know, since I began the study of and practice of this medicine, Qigong was something that made such a difference to my very being. And it's hard to describe. It just kind of like how Chinese medicine made a difference to the way that I approached health and what is life and what is health and what does that actually mean. Qigong gave me the ability to move my body in a deep meditative way where it wasn't something where I was just doing these exercises for a purpose of losing weight or staying fit or going to the gym or those kind of things or running 6 miles or whatever those kind of things are. All of a sudden, this movement slowed my mind, brought my mind into my body, into my heart, where I began to be able to move in this flowing fashion where everything came together. And throughout the, you know, decades, I've studied different forms of Qigong. Different aspects of Qigong have been a little more yin, a little more internal focused. And the reason that I did this Yin Qigong process was that some of the movements, or each of the movements, has a particular purpose associated with it that goes along with the self-inquiry. What are some of the issues that pertain to the first set of movements? And the first set of movements pertain to, like, the first chakra, so to speak. And so there's inquiries that go along with these different movements and what they represent. And so it's not just mindlessly moving the body. It's like a complete system unto itself of, when I move this way, it's retraining my body to respond in this particular way, in a more liquid and flowing way. The feminine type of Qigong, I think, is more challenging because it requires a little more, you know, there's more spiral movements to it, where you're moving actually more to get more flow throughout the body, through some of the areas that are a little creakier, and the hips and the shoulders and the pelvis, and like lubricating the joints. And yet it requires more of a stability in the center. And that stability in the center is, you know, what we move around. And so that's not just in the exercises themselves, but it's a whole state of consciousness that we move around the empty center, that we're anchored in this empty center. And that empty center is not empty at all. It's rich and it's full and it's vibrant, but it's not full of the type of things that we usually fill our mind with, thoughts and emotions, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and all of the things that I've got to do. It's to get out of that framework altogether and to be so present in the body that it really feels like we're moving a soul. We're not just, you know, lugging this mechanical device around trying to keep it healthy.
I can't help but take notes while you talk. I think that's just going to be a natural forever process for me. But it is true. We have so much noise outside of us. And I think even when the West talks about meditation, it's talking about calming what's outside, getting yourself into a quiet space, sitting still, paying attention to your breath. But very few practitioners and people talk about what it actually means to go in and meditate in. People now too are talking about astrological traveling and wanting to leave their bodies, or saying, even when they're in treatment, gosh, I feel like this made me leave my body, or I had some existential experience. And in these past few months, after my own, you know, changing a little bit of my own cultivation, and also I think at the perfect time, your yin qigong came in, I was reading the description, and I would find myself to myself and to the patients is just stay with the self, stay with your body, stay here, stay in, and take note and practice of what's going on within you. I remember one of the first meditation books that I read, and he said, you're going to get an itch, but don't scratch it. You're going to feel your body tingle, but don't move it. You're going to feel it become harder to breathe, but don't buy into it. And so what he called attention to was exactly what you're talking about. These little sparks of distraction or adjustment that we get when we do that self-inquiry, when we do go inward. And having little experience with Qigong, thanks to Taoist traditions, that's what the movements ask you to do, is to stay with them and to stay with the process instead of going outward and staying in. And I think something, maybe you can talk to this too, but there's something about Qigong and the way that we move that fertiles the soul, that quiets the mind, that just puts you into a meditative state, I think, fairly quickly. Yeah. And it is difficult to describe, but I know you know what I'm talking about.
I do. And the first thing that I want to address is this idea of leaving the body, that I think that's a misinterpretation because we don't know what the body is. We think the body is this physical thing that's just made up of this physicality. And we all know at some level that's not correct, that I'm not just enclosed in this bag of skin. And then on the inside, you know, and then I've got this mind here that my body's dragging around. In the Taoist view, or in the Qigong view, or in this internal work process, we see that the real function of the body is to recognize that we are a microcosm of the all that exists. That as I go within, I see I am not limited to this. The entire universe is within me. What could I ever escape to? How could I ever leave this? So as I go into the body, I'm going further into the depths of the cosmos. So the idea of leaving the body doesn't even really make sense. But because the depth that we come to within is infinite, it never ends. And we see, whoa, I am so much more vast than I ever envisioned. And so perhaps my programming that says, and I think it's the way that the Western world and the modern world looks at what a body is. And I think that we're very confused about that. And we try to treat it and we try to medicate it. We try to make it be problem-free. And this is another aspect of Chinese medicine, that it ought not to have any discomfort. And so if there's any discomfort, I'm going to take a pill, or I'm going to go to a doctor and I'm going to get a diagnosis. And I'm quite the opposite, but it's an invitation. If I feel discomfort, I'm not going to ignore that discomfort. I'm going to go into that discomfort. I'm going to say, what is that about? What is that showing me? And every time I do, it shows me an aspect of myself that has been like an erroneous casing, some sort of bondage of the ego that I haven't yet broken through. And if I dare to go within, say I have some chest pains, say that I have this feeling of constriction in my chest, the last thing I'm going to do is go to a cardiologist or go to somebody to say, what is this? I'm going to start and say, I honor this physical, mental, emotional, spiritual experience of life. What is this? I'm going to go into it. What does this represent? What is this about? How can I? And oftentimes it's going to be something relational. It's going to be something where I haven't seen how I behave in certain circumstances based on an old persona I once had that's no longer relevant. So once I recognize that, and I see that this is just the way that my own chest is being bound, that my heart wants to expand, I want to go past that. But before I can go past that, I have to go into that particular casing and see what it's been made up of. And I see the ways that I have limited myself. I see the ways that I have compromised myself, that I have sacrificed myself, say, for the approval of others, or whatever it might represent. Once I see that and I have compassion for it, then it falls away and it's no longer there. And I vibrate at a different level where it doesn't exist any longer. But until I go through that process, if I'm going without and saying, what's this about? Fix this for me. I don't get to alchemize it. I don't get to rise above it. And if that particular symptom goes away, but the underlying trigger of that symptom is not resolved, then it'll come out in another way. It might now not be a particular pain in the chest. It might be an arrhythmia in 5 years, or it might be, you know, something else. It might be an arterial obstruction because I didn't pay attention to the body. So anyway, going into the body is where all of our answers are, really, because the body is not just the body. The body is the spirit. The body is the soul. And when you talk about fertilizing the soul, fertilizing the soul, you know, when we speak about what is even fertility, it's not having a baby. I don't see that equating at all with that word fertile. Our mindset in the Western world of fertility is that it represents productivity, production. I'm going to make a baby. I'm going to take this internal substance and I'm going to turn it into something. That's how we look at creativity. I want to make something. I want to do something. I want to have more. I want to do more. I want to do that. And we deplete ourselves trying to make these things, whether it be a baby or a new practice or a new life or a new me, or whatever, and we don't ever do what fertility is based upon, which is receptivity. That I first have to receive myself as I am. I first have to receive life as it is. I have to take in the immensity of my being And of course, we know that hormones operate via the principle of receptivity. The entire endocrine system is this negative feedback that's based upon receptivity, not productivity. Productivity is the last step. But in our world, we're modifying the last step because we want a quick fix. Do it, fix it, change it, take a bioidentical hormone, do something. And it's not based upon the depth of really touching into who am I? What is my soul? And what do I have the capacity of doing with it?
Yeah, so much good stuff, Randine. I think too, you know, the Western side of fertility is the result. That can mean shutting down different aspects of the body. That can mean sweeping things under the rug. And one thing that I do want to go back to that you talked about is something that I try to articulate and encourage so many of my patients to do, which is to simply just ask themselves questions. And those questions, the best questions, start with what, where, when, and sometimes who. Forget about why and how. Just like you were talking about the heart pains or the chest pains, you know, what do I need? Sometimes I'm like, what did I eat that's giving me these heart palpitations? What can I do to help myself? Who can I talk this through? Even acknowledging, okay, I'm scared. What's going on? Let me slow down and settle down. Because when we ask ourselves those questions, we're the only ones that have the answers. Western medicine is going to give us the data, the analysis, the labs, the imaging. But we are the ones that really know what's going on, and being honest with ourselves is half the battle, I think. And that has to do sometimes with that escapism, is just not being honest with yourself that you can handle a situation, that you can be present with yourself, that you do want to be present with yourself. And all that wraps into the self-inquiry, the fertilizing the soul, what we can do to take care of ourselves. But I think the questioning is the first step. Maybe if we were, I don't know, even if we want to give them steps, but it might be one of the best recommendations I think I can give. And it sounds like you're giving too.
Yeah. And I would add to that, live the question. Don't try to answer it. Because one of the things that happens when, you know, I might become aware of certain ways that I have conditionally responded from a fear-based response or reaction to life things. The modern psychological approach is to say, what am I afraid of? Now, as soon as I give myself an answer, in my brain, I think that I've done the work. I haven't done crap. I've only opened the door. But as soon as I, like, when I inquire a little further, like, what is fear? How does fear feel in my body? What does it represent? What is it about? Not so much what am I afraid of, because the mind will spit out all kinds of things. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of this. Oh, yes, I've been afraid of this. But until I actually go through the experience of what is fear? When fear happens in my body, what is that? What does it do to me? What is it? Yes, it might be helpful to ask the question of what am I afraid of? But until I really understand what fear is, and I see that every time I'm in a fearful stance, I'm defending myself, I'm trying to protect myself. And what's beneath that protection? It's because in the deepest part of me, if I dare to go that far, there's nothing there but love. But I have to go through a lot of fear before I can find the vastness of that. Love is not, or fear is not the opposite of love, like they say. I don't believe that. I think fear is the gateway that keeps us out of the immensity of what we are, that is based upon that expansion of the universe that I might call, love isn't the best word. That, you know, that sounds so drawn together. And I love you. And I have these selective aspects of, but it's the expansion of the universe. It's the desire to continue to be and to become and to be and to become and to go beyond my limitations so that I can see that in the depth of my soul, there's nothing that I'm separate from. And if I'm only looking for answers, I don't ever get to live the inquiry of like, who am I really? And that takes us to the finish line, I think. That takes us into the immensity of who we are. So the questions are absolutely wonderful, but let's not be in too much of a hurry to answer our own questions. Mm-hmm. It gives us a false sense of, I've done the work, check the box, I got that, I got an A on my self-inquiry. What's next?
Yeah, and that's the mind. That's the subtlety and the trickery of the mind and staying in the body, listening, quieting, asking the question and not saying, okay, I got the answer, but saying, I am going to wait. I'm going to pause and listen for hours, for minutes, for days, for months until I really feel deep inside, that's the peace and that's the movement that I'm meant to take, or that's the understanding that I was meant to gain from that question being answered. It's a deep knowing. It doesn't just come in an instance. It's something that we do have to walk around with and walk around asking maybe several times a day to ourselves to really let that question settle in and anchor down. And so much of what we talk about, and even I guess you can call it the title of this episode, is really that heart-kidney connection that Chinese medicine really carries throughout the whole theme of I don't even know if it's theme, but the whole philosophy of Taoism and Chinese medicine. And the fact that the yin qigong starts with the root and the root chakra makes such a deep connection to where the fear is and that big question of who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? But root down, sit down, calm down, be with yourself and listen to all the noise and allow that to pass so that we can and settle down.
Yeah.
And allow for the messages of the heart to connect with the will and the desire, the will and the root of the kidneys of that first chakra, why we're here specifically as a one.
Oh, this just opens up so much. This is a totally different tangent. But when we go about any endeavor in life, you know, one of the things that you hear people say, you know, what is it that you want? What is it that you want? And then, you know, go after your desires. And, you know, when we think about that in terms of Chinese medicine, it doesn't make any sense because the desires belong to the wood element and, you know, the ability to envision new things. But that's not a starting point. That's actually the ending point. We begin with the heart. The heart receives an impression, is how the whole walk of life begins. The heart receives an impression. So as the heart receives an impression, I might all of a sudden be inspired by something. And as I'm inspired by something that resonates to the depth of my being, it says, this is what I'm about. This is what I need to be doing. Then the next step of that is not to go about achieving my desire. The next step of it is to enflesh that, to take it into the earth element, to say, how are my thoughts and my actions aligned with this new movement that I'm receiving, this impression that the heart has taken in? And so then my actions and my thoughts, my beliefs, my ideals go along with that impression that I've received. Then the next step of it is I release everything, metal, that's not in accordance with this new impression that I've received. So I may have to give up certain things. I may have to let go of certain things. I may have to relinquish certain things. Then the next step of that is I root it and I ground it into my very being. And now this impression has gone from the fire element in the heart. It's gone to the earth element in the center. It's gone to the metal element of relinquishing all that's not that. It's gone to the water element that I'm rooted in it. Now I can move into wood and say, how do I desire this to manifest? See, all of those steps that go before what we take into being, rather than our, what do I want, how am I going to get it, and that whole very, without that ability to root in the depth of who I am, that heart-kidney access, but that heart-kidney access goes through the earth, goes through the metal, and then we can take it into wood.
Yeah, and it really gives, I love Chinese medicine so much because of the way that it plays off of nature and the world around us. I mean, it was built off of what we see around us. And part of what I saw when you were talking is planting the seed and watering it. You know, you got the idea or the joy, I forget the word that you used, from the heart. And then it goes right down into that water element, to the kidneys, to pass through the earth, to grab some soil, to be watered. And it's our choice and our decision how much we are going to nurture it, how much we're going to water it and take care of it.
Say, and how much am I willing to give up for this thing that, you know, bringing that metal element that most people don't want to look at? I don't want to give anything up for it. I just want it.
Mm-hmm.
But most of our work is in the courage to relinquish that which no longer serves.
And the courage comes from wood, if I remember. Is that right?
Well, in this case, that's the courage to release that comes from metal. Metal has to do with, you know, righteousness and standing in our truth and all of that. But there's also an aspect of courage that goes with the ability to relinquish, the inbuilt, you know, kind of goes along with the po element that has to do with what are we allowing to die. And that takes a tremendous amount of courage.
Yeah. And from that depth, death, we still receive. It's still that cycle of I'm letting go to fully allow this new thing to grow and prosper.
Yeah. And then it becomes the fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
Most things are fertilized by what we're willing to relinquish. And, you know, in our soil, in our life, in everything, like that's what's missing. The rich fertilizer of that which I've relinquished, that's that which I have let go. My own refuge has become that which nourishes the next phase of my life, that I learn from it, I gather from it, the things that no longer serve me, I relinquish them, and they help, you know, feed. They help the richness of the water that's in the soil. It's, you know, they're all beautiful metaphors.
Yeah, that's evolution and a completely different topic. And another time, I had been thinking these past couple of days about just the supplement world and people taking in all these supplements, whether or not they have a good diet, you know, varying degrees of the whole foods that they're taking in. And I had this thought that if we're going to evolve, we're going to shift with our environment. And if our environment doesn't want, if our soil doesn't want to or can't produce zinc anymore, then perhaps we're going to evolve to not need it. And with our whole conversation, which I didn't expect for it to go, which happens a lot with you, Brandine, is, you know, we have to let go in order to receive. And at the same time, we don't have to, right? Taoist philosophy would say we don't have to do anything, but we would feel different if we invited that sense of opportunity and newness and open. And to me, that's what I think the basis of fertilization is being open to something new, something that...
Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Just in regards to this, like, okay, we believe the dogma that I need this amount of zinc, I need this amount of calcium, I need this amount of... So I supplement that. And I think that that's going to take care of my physicality because that's what I think I am. I am this body that needs this amount of thing. Well, that keeps me going at a horizontal level. Yeah. I don't have to transcend that. It keeps me relatively in the same place. I'm here, my supplements, I'm doing this thing. But what if I dare to challenge that paradigm and say, wait a minute, what if I actually, because of where the earth is going, because of where the spirit of existence is going, what if we're moving to a place of vibration where that is no longer correct? If I dare to challenge that paradigm that says, maybe I don't need any of these things that I think that I need. So if I'm going to be operating from a higher vibration, if I'm called to be ever transcending, and I don't want to really use that word transcendence because it implies going back to I leave the body. But it's like, no, the body is the recipient of the changes in consciousness that I make. The Shen comes first, the spirit comes first, then the heart mind, and then the chi, and then the body. But if I put the body first and I say that I'm going to make all of these changes at the level of the body because that's what I am, and then the chi follows that, and then I've got the equation backwards. But if I really see myself as the ensouled spirit that I am in this life, that's all about energy, and that energy is expansive and it's infinite, and I follow that instead of the dogma of the, whether it's the prevailing medical paradigm or the nutritional paradigm, or whoever wants to sell me these things, because we've all seen people give up their pharmaceuticals for all of a sudden now they have this big garbage bag full of supplements, and they don't really make a difference. They don't make me feel any better, but I'm now spending $600 a month out of pocket for what insurance was covering last month. So I have to feel like I'm doing at least something. What if none of that is necessary and we have absolutely everything that's in us? If we pay attention to the laws of the universe that are etched in my very heart, my very soul, my very being, that say, you have it all. You have everything that you need. You don't need to go without. You just need those that are going to support you in finding it within.
Yep. Yeah. What do I need is a question that I've asked myself sometimes every day, several times a day, not even relevant to supplements, but to exercise, to rest, to taking a break and letting my body show me the way. Because when we look outside, we get very confused about what our body actually needs. And it's a complete distraction from us and you being your number one caretaker.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have another book that I've already submitted the proposal. Or maybe, yes.
Good. Yes.
But it's based on that because we are so lost in who's going to do this for me, who's going to do this for me, who's going to give me the drug that I need and the thing that I need. And then, I don't think that any external support gets to be called health because health is inherent. Any external support means that my health is failing and I'm going to somebody else for help, for, you know, some sort of support, but nobody helps me be healthy. That health is inherent in the internal workings of a whole system. It's already there. Nobody gives it to me. There's no supplement that gives it to me. There's no acupuncture needle that gives it to me. There's no herbal supplement that gives it to me. Those may help me find a state of balance where that health can emerge. but the health is inherent. So there is no healthcare system out there. The system of healthcare is that around which my strands of DNA are wrapped. It's an internal thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's so foreign from our modern psyche.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I look across the lake here at the city and I see the monstrosity of buildings that are given to the healthcare industry. It's like industrial medicine. To me, it's just like such a tragedy. It's not anything of which I want to be a part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just takes away from knowing ourselves and being comfortable with ourselves and trusting ourselves. And one thing that I like to suggest to my patients is to line up all their supplements and look at them as if they're your friend. Do you want to hang out with that friend today? Does your body want that friend? Because just taking a whole bunch of friends in at once, to me, because I am, I think, mostly an introvert, that then after I take all these supplements, it's like I'm done at the party. I've just used all my energy. And now what I have to do is go home and rest and take care of myself again, because everything was so external. Those supplements were external, that they distracted me from what I really needed. Where instead I could have said, hey, I actually want to hang out with you on this day. I'm going to hang out with you on that day. And the laws of nature imply that we don't experience things all year round, even in the sunniest, most beautiful climates, which means why would we take supplements all year round? We don't even grow the same food all year round. And I think that that's something that people forget when people
right.
say, oh, I've been taking vitamin C for 14 years.
Yeah.
Every day. I've hardly missed
right.
a day.
I go get my vitamin D levels. And they tell me that I need to take vitamin D as an anti-inflammatory. It's like, no, the vitamin D isn't an anti-inflammatory. It's the internal conflicts that are inflammatory.
Yep.
So I need to look at that. Like, that's the health. I don't take this thing so I don't have inflammation. It's the internal things that I'm doing that causes the inflammation. And I mean, when we question this paradigm and go deeper and deeper and deeper, like, I have to question everything. What if our anatomy and our physiology, the actual cellular biology, is not what they tell us it is? And I don't think it actually is, because the only way that we know cellular biology is through the lens we're peering into it, which is basically kill it or put it in a false environment and evaluate it. And then it's going to appear based on the consciousness of the observer that's looking at this dead tissue in most cases. And we say that's what creates the reality. Absolutely not. It's the energy behind it that we can't see, but we can feel and we can tune into. And that's what manifests physically. And if we're able to tune into the depth of the subtle energetic movements that we will not be able to tune into if we're so drawn, my attention is going outside. What do these experts say? What do all of the research says? This study says, I need to take this, I need to take that. Now all of my attention is going out there. So these subtle little urgings within that are energetically saying, don't take that. That's not right for you. You don't need that. Mm-hmm. I've missed that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not following the clear directives of my heart and my spirit. I'm following the multitude of voices on the outside, and I'm making them my authority.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what a tragedy that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do want to say that we all learn from different places. You and I are both scholars, and being able to collect information and get multiple opinions and talk to people in the healthcare profession, in alternative health, in Chinese medicine, to friends, to other people that have gone through the experience. In that process, we educate ourselves on what may or may not be right or best for us. And so I think having the conversation and doing the research and getting opinions and kind of being your own health advocate is so important, because when we're not familiar with those whispers, we have to find a way to become familiar with them, to listen and to allow ourselves to say. And I think a lot of what I've learned from studying this medicine is to go off of feeling. So when someone says to me, take turmeric or whatever, vitamin D, whatever the hot thing is on the market, you know, it's like, how does that feel for me to maybe go to the grocery store and look at it and buy it and spend money on it? You know, there's so many different things that are relative to even going out and buying clothes. You know, someone can suggest different types of shirts and necklines to you, but you're not going to just go out and buy it and say, okay, this is me now, fits perfectly, because it may not. It might not represent who you are. And the health industry is the same way. And I think that's why, too, that so many people are now especially drawn to Chinese medicine, is because we turn it back on them. You know, we kind of put the mirror on them and be the guide and show them the way and help with discernment instead of giving them all the answers.
The only true healer resides in the heart. Mm-hmm. So I've never gone to a healer in my life, nor have you, nor have you and I, who other people might call healers. I haven't healed anybody, and nobody has healed me. But there has been tremendous healing that has happened. And that healing that has happened in my life happens in a transformed heart. And so when I can, in whatever way, impart that possibility to somebody that comes to me, that it is in the transformation of your own heart that the healing happens. Listen to that. It will never, ever, ever let you down.
Yep.
And that's where healing happens. And that takes us to places that we can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly couldn't when I first came into this medicine. But
you and me both.
It takes a lot. It takes a lot. This is not another thing, too. I keep kind of going back to emphasizing this, but I become the you know, anything that I decide to take, to put into my body or to try in my life, that I become the expert. I'm going to, if I decide to take this zinc or vitamin D or whatever it is, how does it make me feel? What does it feel like going in? I'm going to do it for a period of time. Does it make a difference? Does it make me feel better? Does it feel like there's any shift in the state of my consciousness, my energy, my state of being? Or does it feel like I'm just taking it? And then we decide, you know, I take things that really work well for me for a period of time. But then when they have served their purpose, based on whatever energetic movement I was experiencing in that phase of my life, then I no longer needed it. And if I continue to take it, then it just becomes extra. It's like the too many friends that you've got. So it's really learning the subtle language that the body speaks in movement, in quiet, in, you know,
choices.
That's why I love Qigong, because it helps me to tune into that subtle current within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that might be a good reference point for people, is how you go through life and friends and people just fall away. Some stick close by, others you have a tumultuous relationship with. You know, you might have a hard time giving up something you know, that you have an addiction to. It's the same thing with so many other aspects of our life. And I think friends really are a parallel to supplements and even herbs. Taking herbs so regularly now, it's like when people come over, they look at this shelf that I have that so beautifully is above my sink, and people will ask, "Do you take all those?" Well, yeah, I take them all, but it just depends. It just depends on when. I don't take them all every day. And so we're not just singling out, you know, Western medicine or supplements. It's everything. It's food, it's herbs, it's exercise, clothes, seasons. It involves all of it. So a lot of what we've talked about are how we can go inward, but also how it's relative to the seasons. And when people ask me for a book recommendation, oftentimes The Way of the Fertile Soul is the first one that I recommend. And this was written by Randine, and she goes through the five elements. I mean, I won't try to articulate it, but if you want to give a quick summary on this one, Randine, I'd love it. And then for any women that are listening, The Infertility Cure is also one that Randine has written that I often will work with my patients. They'll come in carrying this book and I'll say, don't do the whole book, but focus on, you know, you can see focus on pages X through Y. So this is my favorite.
Oh, good. Yeah, that one, I try to bring out the five elements through self-inquiry, looking within, finding out how these elements are strong or weak or need to be strengthened or might have some sort of relevance in life. And it's an easy way. The five elements are just an easy way of categorizing those energies in nature and seeing where somebody is in balance or needs a little bit of help. So it's really based on one way of working with the energies of Chinese medicine in a very personal way, where you don't need to go out and go to a specialist, just to become familiar with one of the ways that these elements manifest in our lives. And then, you know, The Infertility Cure, of course, was written for those that were struggling with fertility. And I really wanted, you know, my attempt in that one was, there is another way. You do not have to go to your reproductive endocrinologist. You do not have to take hormones. You do not have to go through an IVF. You do not have to go through these brutal ways of trying to force a baby inside of you. But that had a very, very specific focus. But The Way of the Fertile Soul is for any life transition, anytime you want to use this medicine. And, you know, I'm starting to do more work now with perimenopausal transitions, like into the alchemy of hormonal transitioning, into, you know, other ways of using this as a modes of, you know, powering the arising of our energies, not just how to balance things. Sometimes we balance ourselves in a very imbalanced society, and sometimes we need to kind of power above it in order not to go back to a previous state where things might have seemed more balanced. But every time we're transitioning, things become imbalanced. We don't go from this state over here to this state over here. There's a flux, there's an ebb and flow. And what we want to do is to be able to go from this state of being into this state of being. And there will be symptoms, there will be states where things feel upset, where things feel out of balance. And so the invitation is not to nullify the symptoms, but to learn how they're inviting you into a deeper way of being so that those symptoms will no longer manifest as you come to occupy a different frequency in your life. Mm-hmm. So Way of the Fertile Soul is kind of an invitation to do that. But I plan, we're going to do some retreats next spring again. I'm going to start doing retreats again and for specific modalities. So I'm excited about doing that.
Awesome. Is that going to be for practitioners or will the general public be open to that too?
That's going to be for the general public.
Patients, yeah.
I want to do, I'm going to get some practitioner retreats going. You and I will talk about that later. Because the people that are asking me for it are the ones that are like fresh out of school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, will you do a retreat? Will you like teach us this stuff? But got to wait till they're out of school. So maybe not just CEFP, but like really an offering for practitioners. So that'll be something else that we can pursue.
Excellent. Yes, I am fortunate enough to work for Randine and spend every month with her and other practitioners in the Fertile Soul, which if you are a practitioner and you want to learn more about that or become a member, you can go to thefertilesoulcefp.org. And the yinqigong.com is available for anyone, right? Don't have to be experienced in Qigong either.
Not at all. I mean, it's not easy. And it gets progressive. So there's 7 different levels of it. So, and I'm going to do like a live call with anybody who signs up once a month. Oh, I'm nice. Also, over the next couple of months, I'm going to get randinelewis.com going, because that's going to be doing more of these offerings that aren't specific for fertility. May have more fertility, but most of them are just going to be the offerings that I have going on.
And as we've learned here, even if people are seeking fertility, it is really a relationship with the self and being able to receive one's self. Learn to have some self-compassion too for what we go through and what Chinese medicine would say that we signed up for. That's part of our curriculum and our blueprint. But yeah, that's for a whole nother conversation too.
I know. I keep like stepping in wanting to do more and more and more. But I gotta get ready for a class here. So
yeah, I appreciate you squeezing me in, squeezing us in. And
it's been wonderful. Yeah, it's been great fun. Thank you, Mallory.
Thank you for listening to Through the Funnel. I hope you found something useful. If you have and you like what you've heard, share around and leave a review on Apple. To get in touch, learn more about me and my classes, visit my website at sourcemedicinalarts.com. Till next time.